This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them, to bless every one of us, and to grant us all goodness. The first question I have is, can you hear me at the back there? You can. I wonder if the sound is low, or is it just me feeling that it's low? Is it fine? It's okay? Okay. My brothers, my sisters, mashallah, that's better. It's always worth speaking up, right? Don't you agree? Mashallah. Imagine if I kept on speaking without actually saying what was bothering me. We were going to spend a whole hour where I would feel uncomfortable and I wouldn't have gotten the few words I had in my mind just because I would be embarrassed. No need. It's one lesson for the youth. When you have something in your heart, very respectfully put it forward, inshallah. Good lesson, right? I am a Muslim. I believe in Allah. He is the only one worthy of worship. We heard that? I believe that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final messenger of Allah. I believe that whatever was revealed is absolute and is final. And I believe that I will stick to it as best as I can until I meet with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the pond known as Al-Kawthar by the will of Allah in order to achieve Jannatul Firdaus. I'm a Muslim. I have chosen to be a Muslim. I utter ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger, the final prophet of Allah. He was sent with a message. That message to me is ultimate, it is final. My brothers and sisters, that does not negate the fact that I need to be kind to the rest of humanity. It does not negate the fact that there are people who disagree with me. There are people who have chosen other faiths. I'm talking on an international level. We have people all over the world who think differently, who are different. And one of the challenges we face as youth is we become very impatient when people differ with us. We become so impatient, we start swearing, shouting, screaming, becoming vulgar online. We use words behind the keyboard. You know, when you are speaking like this, you're a little bit ashamed of your face, right? But behind the screen, there is no shame of a face. You can hide behind a name. No one will guess you're such a little person who's so shy to even say hello. But behind, on that phone or online, you are swearing this one and that one, and you've created accounts and you're so excited that I'm anonymous, no one knows who I am. That is a scourge. It is a problem that we're facing today across the globe, more so among the Muslims, but not only within the Muslims. My brothers and sisters, we are responsible for what? We are responsible to carry the flag of goodness, to carry the flag of deen. We are also responsible to reach out to the other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, starting with mankind. It's our duty. We are young. We are absolutely responsible for the way we behave. We are setting a trend. We are setting an example. And when we leave this earth, it's our duty to have left it in a better way. How are we going to be able to lead in a few years' time, as the youth are progressing? They will be the leaders. How will we be able to lead when we have not even set our own morals and values upon a high standard? My brothers and sisters, I hope you get what I'm saying. If we're talking about the challenges of the youth, we don't know where to start and we don't know where to end. Because these challenges are not unique to the youth, but they are challenges we're facing on a global level. Many, many issues. By the will of Allah, I started in a specific way because I'm a Muslim. I've declared Islam. I know that this is my faith. I know there are sects of Muslims. I know there are people who think differently among the Muslims. I know there are people who might belong to a different grouping, etc. My duty is not to spew hate. For Allah's sake, understand what is your duty. The verses that were read by the Hafiz a little bit earlier, where Ibrahim alayhi salam at a certain stage, Allah says, you know what? There is a good example in him when he declared that he was different from what they were doing. His own father and his people were actually worshippers of idols. What happened? Who was the powerful one there? Wasn't it the Prophet Abraham? May peace be upon him, Ibrahim. He was the powerful one. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it such that he didn't flex his muscle. The problem with us, we flex our muscles and we are not even prophets of Allah. We flex our muscles, we threaten this one, want to do this. He was a messenger of Allah, one of the best, one of the five of the top. He was the father of all the messengers who came after him. Allah loved him and Allah says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah has taken the Prophet Abraham as a close friend of his, which means he was a friend of Allah. His children, all of them, look at them, subhanAllah. The prophets that Allah chose were from his children. Whether it is Jesus, may peace be upon him, Moses, may peace be upon him, Aaron, may peace be upon him, David, may peace be upon him, Solomon, may peace be upon him. All of these, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are from the children of that man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us there was a time when he was persecuted by his own family, his own father. What did he do? Is there a single swear word in his vocabulary? Is there single abuse in his vocabulary? Is there single, you know, violence in his vocabulary or in his life? Not at all. It's not there. Subhanallah. He was a great man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he declared to them, listen, I'm free from what you are doing. You people have declared enmity against us, so we have become enemies. But I'm still calling you towards goodness. My brothers and sisters, some people use this verse in order to spew hate and to hurl abuse at those who don't agree with them. And they say, you know what? There is something known as al-wala wal-bara. We have to harm everyone who disagrees with us. That's not the meaning of the term al-wala wal-bara. We love everything to do with Allah. And we dislike that which is sinful indeed. If someone is forcing shirk into your face, you abstain from it. And you hold yourself and you protect yourself from it. But I promise you, listen to what Allah says before you actually misinterpret revelation. If you were a Muslim and your parents were not Muslim, that is an issue. You might face a little bit of difficulty, hardship, especially nowadays, like what happened at the beginning of Islam, where the parents would be very, you know, they would find it difficult to digest the fact that my child has become a Muslim. It is difficult for them to digest. But I promise you, Allah says, you know what? Live with them, fulfill their rights, respect the fact that we have chosen them as your parents and be kind to them right up to the day you die or they die. What about if they are mushriks? When I say mushrik, I'm referring to polytheists. I'm not just saying disbelievers. I'm saying those who worship deities besides Allah. So if my parents happen to be from among those, you know what Allah says? وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah has instructed man to be very kind to both his parents. Then Allah says, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. If they were to instruct you, if they were trying hard, جَاهَدَاكَ means that they were striving to make you worship that which is besides Allah. They were striving to lead you to that which is in the disobedience of Allah. Then Allah gives you the best divine advice and instruction. He says, don't follow them. La tuti'huma. And he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. On earth, while they are alive, you better live with them with utmost goodness, that which is acceptable. Subhanallah. Look at this. I have had a brother come to me and say, you know what? How can this person who accepted Islam live with their parents when their parents have actually You know, they haven't accepted Islam. They are not Muslims and so on. I said, my brother, calm down. Read the Quran. It has an answer for you. He says, no, I attended one lecture which told us that al-wala wal-bara, you are not allowed to associate at all with anyone whom you disagree with. La ilaha illallah. Where did this interpretation come from of al-wala wal-bara? It is a deviant interpretation with the idea of creating warfare, fighting and killing. Be careful. I have warned you, and don't say we did not discuss it. It is a matter that is bubbling behind the scenes. If someone like myself does not address it, I don't know who will. Be careful, my beloved youth. The first thing you need to save yourself from, obviously, as a Muslim, you know, is sin, that which displeases Allah, whether it is shirk, whether it is bid'ah, yes. And thereafter, you need to know, uphold the peace, stability, security of your families, your communities, your nations, and the globe at large. It is your duty as Muslims to do that. Today we are struggling across the globe because people have hijacked religion and convinced the young and the youth that the Almighty who gave the life to all these people is the one who's going to be happy when we take that same life away. That's what they're doing. How foolish is this? You following what I'm saying? I'm speaking loud and clear because this is the crisis. The last thing we want to see is a nation being destroyed because of people who have convinced us to fight and kill each other. I will disagree with you. You will disagree with me. You might not read prayers the way I do. You might want to do a dua after salah, which I might call an innovation. Perhaps it might happen in a certain way. You know what? We can respectfully disagree and keep the disagreement exactly where it is. Subhanallah. It does not need to become a source of hurt and hate and abuse and vulgarity, etc. We are falling as an ummah because of this. You go for Hajj. Hajj is a pillar of Islam. People are fighting in Mina and Arafah as to what to do, whether or not I should do the salah like this or like that. My brother, just do the salah. Whether it is this way or that way, at least you are doing it. Subhanallah. Today I was asked a question, another question. Fiqh, jurisprudence. And I told the brother, do you know what? It was online. I said, you know what? You can do it both ways. It's okay. No big deal. I can disagree with you strongly. In fact, I want to tell you, even when it comes to matters of belief, we may differ. There is difference that happens. Subhanallah. And we must, it is our duty to portray that which is revealed by Allah. It's my duty. I'll continue expressing what I believe shirk is, what I believe bid'ah is, what I believe the wrong path is. I need to continue reminding people in a beautiful way, with wisdom, with tact. But that is not a source of hate whereby, you know what, this person, I hate them. You look, when your own son is on drugs, don't you still love your son, but you hate the way he's doing drugs? Do you agree? When your own child is hooked onto pornography or has lost the path, you love your child. Don't tell me you don't love your child. It's something that is there. But you don't like what they're doing. Don't you cry at night to Allah, oh Allah, guide my child. Take them out of drugs. Take them out of this bad habit. Take them out of, you know, whatever crime they're committing. Subhanallah. We love the child. Subhanallah. Well, there are some who actually don't love their own children. They don't have any respect for their children. It's one of the problems that we also face, where people's roles are not being fulfilled. A father, instead of protecting his child, ends up raping the child. A'udhu billah. News I just heard today. May Allah protect us. If it is true, it is sad. And remember, it's not only this nation or that nation. This happens across the globe in many nations. And it does not mean that the country is failing. We, as humankind, are failing our own children. Humankind. Don't blame a specific party or a specific nation. This is not franchised to your country alone. It happens everywhere in the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But generally, the love that one should be having under normal circumstances of a child, especially the mother and the father, will not allow hatred to overtake their hearts of the individual, but rather of the act and the deed. Look at Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Before he accepted Islam, I promise you, He had so much of hatred in his heart. But here is the Prophet, peace be upon him, on the other side saying, "Oh Allah, guide this man to Islam. He doesn't know what he's doing." Subhanallah. The people of Ta'if, you know what they did to the Messenger Muhammad, peace be upon him. They threw stones. They actually chased him. Whatever else they did, the blood was flowing. And you know what he says when he was told, "If you want, we can destroy them." He says, "Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun." Oh Allah, guide my people. They don't know what they're doing. The Prophet Jesus, may peace be upon him, Isa alayhi salam, the same thing he did. He prayed for them. He tried with them. He continued with them. The Prophet Moses, may peace be upon him, he did the same with the Pharaoh and the others. They kept trying. Because why? Allah taught them, and something we need to learn, that you know what? All people are the creatures of Allah. If they turn because of an effort that you've made towards the right path, towards the path of goodness, then you have earned a great reward. But today we are being brainwashed into believing that everyone on earth is our enemy. That's it. It's just me and my small little group. And that's the reason why the groups are becoming smaller and smaller and more in number and more in number. We are less tolerant of each other. Wallahi, I will tell you, I was born in the early 70s. Let me explain. When we were young, we used to hear of these wars. You know, this First World War took place, Second World War took place. That was before my time, but we had to study about it in history. And I promise you, when I was growing a little bit older, I felt to myself when I was sitting at school that alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, we are being educated and there will be less wars on earth. Was I wrong? Subhanallah. I thought to myself, there will be less wars on earth because now we're educated and we are being educated to learn to tolerate. Remember one thing, there are some Muslims who will tell you that you cannot tolerate this, tolerate, because they don't know the meaning of tolerance. They think tolerance means you agreed with something. You did not agree with something. I can disagree with you strongly, but I still tolerated it. Subhanallah. I have visited many, many countries. A lot of the non-Muslim countries offer the Muslims better opportunities than many Muslim countries. Not all Muslim countries, but many. And you know what? It's not a matter of tolerance. They respect the Muslims and they totally disagree with them in many countries. Subhanallah. Did you hear what I just said? It's not easy. Look at those living in the US. Look at them living in the UK, in Australia. Name the countries, the first world countries. Yes, Islamophobia is real. I agree. But at the same time, from a constitutional perspective, as much as it is not Sharia, you and I know that Muslims are allowed to live there. They have become citizens over time and they have been given the rights equal to the rest of the people of the same nation. Even though you might have pockets of hate and pockets of people, you know, Islamophobia, I pray that there were others like us in other faiths who could also tell their followers to treat the Muslims fairly, just like we are telling our Muslims to treat the non-Muslims fairly and with justice. I'm speaking here in a Muslim nation, but I know why I'm saying this. Because do you know, the beginning of disaster is when things bubble in the background and you don't deal with them. That's the beginning of disaster. You have to be smart enough to know what is bubbling in the background and deal with it. And I tell you what is bubbling right now. People are using religion because the world is fed up. I promise you, there is so much disaster, so much crime, so much of sin, so much of hardship, so much of poverty, so much of, you know, so many disasters that are happening, drought and whatever else. People are fed up, and that's why they are turning towards faith. As they are turning towards faith in the Almighty, to them it may be a last resort. And that's what the Almighty says. Sometimes we draw you closer to us through hardship that we put you into. Sadly, there are people of religion who are seizing that opportunity to come and con the people to say, now that you're a godly person, you need to become violent in order to please that God. It's a crisis we're facing in the youth. Don't let anyone brainwash you in that regard. Never. There are problems in the ummah. We know what the problems are. The way we are being, or some of the people are being taught to solve those problems, is by creating 10 more problems that did not exist. I can give you a lot of examples of a lot of nations recently that have been destroyed to smithereens. They can say what they want. They are totally gone back to the Stone Age. You can name them yourself. Why? We were foolish. That's why. We were fools. We were fooled not only by politicians but by the religious men to begin with. We were fooled. We were fooled into believing that we had to destroy to earn the pleasure of the Almighty. We had to remember Muhammad, peace be upon him, has taught us that when you have a crisis, when you have a problem, study the matter. See how to solve it. Don't solve it in a way that will create a bigger problem. That's the reason why we are taught, يُرْتَكَبُ أَخَفُّ الضَّرَرَيْنِ وَأَهْوَنُ الشَّرَّيْنِ. When there are two bad things, what do? We are taught in Islam that the lesser of the two evils you live with. Sometimes we don't realize there is evil, but it's the lesser of the two. Islam teaches you that is the path. If there's only two choices, both of them are evil, which one do you do? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us. And it's a law of the Sharia to say the lesser of the two evils. It's even common logic, subhanallah. But sometimes, no, I'm going to do it this way. And you don't think of the result of what you're trying to do. This is why you go back into the Sharia and you look at how problems were solved at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. He always studied the matter. Sometimes he did it this way, sometimes he did it that way. He studied the matter. We learn good examples. Why do we allow people to take that away from us? This is why when the globe looks at Muslims today, there is a small percentage of evil among the Muslims. Those who are perpetrating crime, small percentage, but I tell you what, because the media has put it out there, don't you agree that we're all looked at as bad people? It's become tough to put on a niqab because people have already judged you. It's become hard to grow your beard because people have already judged you. I salute those who can be themselves, even in the face of the challenges of those who misjudge. I have a beard. May Allah make it such that I don't compromise it. And I know that holding that beard, carrying this beard, and still being the best possible version of a Muslim that I can be, would on its own be an automatic reflection of Islam that can change the narrative of the globe. We can all do the same, and I'm sure many of us are trying in our own circles. Allah has given you access to a different number of people, but at least at your school, at your workplace, at your, you know, wherever you're walking, whether it is in the supermarket or the airport or, you know, at sea, wherever else it may be, if you carry yourself with utmost respect and you are identified as a Muslim, you will change that narrative. People will say, no, I know Muslims personally. They are loving, they are kind. The majority of them are so helpful. They are so courteous. Subhanallah. Each time a crime is perpetrated anywhere in the world where people are being killed, subhanAllah, in the name of Islam, we all pay a price. And we are not even a part of it. We don't even agree. We all pay a price. Someone says, well, what about the Muslims who are dying? We are so upset with the fact that Muslimin are dying. If you take a look at everywhere where they are dying, yes, you will find a root cause of it. And a lot of the times, it's to do with two parties of the Muslims that initiated it. Take a look at it carefully. Take a look at it carefully. We are saddened. We want to see it stop. But in order to try and stop the war in Syria, for example, how can we do something that's going to make matters even worse than what they are now? That is foolishness. I either stop the war if I can, in one way or another, but I don't make matters worse. And if I cannot stop it only by making it worse, then unfortunately it's the lesser of the two evils. But people say, no, you need to start creating a disaster in your own country. Go and look for people who happen to be of the same nationality and harm them. Why? When Allah in the Quran says, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى, no soul shall bear the burden of another. Someone else perpetrated the crime and you want to harm another person. Imagine a rape happened of a two-year-old and you collect someone else who looks like the criminal and you jail him. That's what we are doing. You jail him and you think, I did justice. What justice was that? The real criminal is still at large. Subhanallah. Foolish. There are some really, really good people in all nationalities and in all races and even in all faiths and religions. There are some really kind people. When I say good, I'm talking about the character, the conduct, so much so that I am sometimes embarrassed by the character of the Muslims. And I am sometimes very impressed by the character of some of the non-Muslims. I don't know if you have interacted the way I have, but if you have, you will agree with what I'm saying. A lot of Muslims say, you know, in other countries, it's very hard to deal with a Muslim. But when I deal with the non-Muslims, they are honest and upright. That's not supposed to be the case. We're all human beings. Every one of us is supposed to be honest and upright. In fact, the Muslims more so. May Allah grant us ease. These are crises faced in the Muslim Ummah. And we use religion. On one hand, we become pious. We make 5 salah a day. Five prayers a day. And we are there regular. But the heart has not been dealt with. We don't even know how to look at another person who's struggling with their faith. They want to come closer to the Almighty. And the way we attack them and we chase them away from religion, we will pay a price for that, my brothers and sisters. Be careful. You pay a price. Everyone is beloved to Allah. You're not the only one. Those who sometimes pray, you know, 5 daily prayers, and they, mashallah, they outwardly look very good Muslim. You know what? It's even more important for you to display the best of character and conduct. Give people a good expression. Give people time of the day. Greet them. Be helpful without wanting things in return. Brings me to another problem that we're facing across the globe. The entire globe is facing a challenge of hypersexualization. Everything is sexualized. Sex sells. That's what it is. So what happens? People tend to lose control of themselves completely. And their morals have degraded to a great degree. And they are fine with it. It's okay. It's fine. Subhanallah. As Muslims, we uphold high morals and values. We're supposed to. Remember, be hard on yourself. Be disciplined. That's what Islam is all about. Be disciplined. Be straight. Be upright. We have a crisis, for example, of the way pornography is going is actually so scary that if I were to tell you that the Muslim nations are at times recorded to be, according to some findings, downloading and watching more porn than other nations, you would be surprised. But I wouldn't, subhanallah. Shocking. Can we not control ourselves? Can we not discipline ourselves? Can we not learn a little bit of, you know, sometimes you find a person again. And this is why I say, learn to help each other. You don't know the struggles of any person and every person. You don't know their struggles. They will be struggling in a different way. They might be closer to the Almighty in one other way. You have a person, I remember a case where a woman came in and her husband was an imam. And she says, this man beats me and he's a womanizer and he's hooked onto pornography. And I was just shocked. I can't believe this. Are you sure we're talking of the same person? The same person. That's the same guy who gets up on the pulpit and starts swearing everybody else. Subhanallah. He was fortunate that he was covered by his own family members. And in fact, he was more fortunate when they exposed him. Sometimes the Almighty wants you to be exposed because He loves you. He knows it will stop when I expose you. So it stops. You were exposed. Thank Allah. No one wants to be exposed. May Allah protect all of us. My brothers, my sisters, we have another scourge. And that is that of drugs. You know, people use the excuse of the benefits of medicinal cannabis, which I acknowledge completely, in order to then abuse that cannabis in different ways. That's one example. That is still a light example. I said it in a certain way, I worded it in a certain way, because cannabis has medicinal properties that are undeniable. And not the social smoking of weed, okay? I'm talking of medicinal CBD, or even if it goes up to THC. If you want to read about it, you will find out more about it. We cannot deny some of those medicinal properties and what has happened as a result of it being administered in the correct way. Okay? And by the way, CBD is not even toxic. But we have hard drugs, hardcore drugs, and so much more, subhanAllah. Even the social smoking of normal cigarettes. It's a bad habit. We are Muslims. We shouldn't be doing that. You know, the ruling is that we should be abstaining from anything that is harmful to our bodies. So surely we should be abstaining. But people have gotten hooked onto all these drugs and intoxicants to the degree that it has dropped our level as Muslims. You follow what I'm saying? Surely we need to be disciplined. How are we going to solve the problems of the whole ummah when we have a problem on this side, a problem on that side, and in the middle the people are lost because they don't know where to go? These are the crises being faced by the youth. My brothers, my sisters, you and I know that the world is changing very fast. I was speaking moments ago with Honorable Minister of Youth. And I had said, I think one of the issues that we are grappling with, it's a good thing, but at the same time it's very challenging, is the pace of advancement of technology is something that is really a challenge. The pace, the speed at which technology is advancing. I think in the last 30 years, we have witnessed what was not witnessed in the last 2 million years. In terms of technological advancement. Wow. I always say, I don't know if you've heard me say this before. All the messengers of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, they used animals as a mode of transport. All of them. They had water from a well. They lit a fire in a specific way. You follow what I'm saying? None of them had electricity. Okay? None of them had a motor vehicle or an aeroplane. Or even the speedboats we have today. And guess what? They were the most beloved unto Allah. The Prophet Jesus, may peace be upon him. Wow. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah. Look at this. Yet Allah did not give them that. It goes to show that it's not necessarily a sign of the love of the Almighty when you don't have something. It might just be a sign that He loves you because you don't have it. Perhaps. It could be. And if we are so fortunate, we've become so used to things. I was speaking to my daughter earlier today. She was saying, you know, having an air condition is a basic human right. And I started laughing. I said, subhanAllah, we're so spoiled. SubhanAllah, so spoiled. Gets to a stage where you are saying air condition is a basic human right. Where did you get that from? But it's just because if you're sweating without it, you start thinking, gosh, what did my parents do? Not your parents. What did the billions and trillions who passed on the earth do from the beginning to now? They will tell you, well, now there's global warming. SubhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. And by the way, global warming is a serious matter. It's not a joke. We all need to contribute towards the protection of the environment and the climate and so on. To the best of our knowledge and ability, we don't negate the studies that are showing things. And we will study further. And as these studies change and they begin to show us more and more, so we will adjust. It does not negate your faith to look after, you know, the ecosystem. In fact, it's part of your faith to be able to look after the ecosystem. So going back to what I was saying, those messengers did not have, and the most beloved unto Allah did not have phones and mobiles and internet like we do, but Allah loved them more than He loves any one of us, because they were the chosen ones. That's what we believe as Muslims. And I can tell you something, as time progressed, we were tested with something called technology. It's a test. What are you going to do? Are you going to use it to develop mankind, to spread good, to teach that which is filled with goodness, to remind people about their duty unto their Maker, and to remind them to abstain from that which is harmful, detrimental, prohibitions, etc.? Or are you going to use it to fall into the trap yourself? A friend of mine contacted me a few days ago and told me that he stumbled across someone's phone, family member of his. He says, I was shocked what I read. And I said, my brother, don't be shocked and surprised. You know what? Today people have 3 locks on their phones. 3. You know why? They are so embarrassed about how they use it. You have a little pattern, right? And then you have a little finger and you have your eyes on top of that to make sure that everything is in order. You know, they used to have face recognition. They stopped it. It doesn't work, especially with makeup. But they now have the recognition of the eyes, the iris, subhanAllah. The eyes recognizes you, makeup, no makeup. That eye, that iris is gone. It will open your phone, subhanAllah. Imagine. It is good. You are entitled to your privacy, 100%. We don't deny that. But when you become overprotective and too possessive over something, such that you're embarrassed, even if your own father or sibling had to see something, then definitely you need a tapping to say, hey, I hope you're not doing anything wrong here. SubhanAllah. May Allah guide us all. I hope you're not doing anything wrong. Be responsible. My brothers, my sisters, like I started, I said, we are Muslim. I'm in a country that is a Muslim nation. That's why I'm talking so freely to you. And I'm being honest. What I'm telling you is based on years of learning as well as experience on the ground. I promise you. Be responsible. Be a little bit more responsible. Today, a lot of women don't want to marry. And a lot of men also don't want to marry. SubhanAllah. And you ask them, but why not? They say, you know what? Just look at the divorce rate. And I tell them, well, the good people like you can actually help push the rate the other way. They say, but what if I'm doomed with a bad guy? Then what? So there's a problem, right? We need to restore faith in one another. Come on. When are the women going to think, okay, right now the men are now more reasonable and, you know, we... But subhanAllah, every other man, when he sees a woman, he has to look up and down and up and down to the side and he waits for her to walk past and he looks behind. Who wants to marry a guy like that? But if everyone is like that, we have a problem. We have a major problem. May Allah protect us. Major disaster. I'm talking to you freely because we are speaking to youth. We have a problem. Yes, you will be attracted. Indeed, it is only normal and natural. But at the same time, Allah tells us, you know what? Regularize it. Adultery is prohibited in Islam. You know that, right? Regularize it. Which means you really want, you can get married. And that's why Islam tells us, and this is another crisis we're facing in many countries. Islam tells us, make it easy for your children to get married. But guess what we're doing? We're making it so hard. I don't know about this country, but in a lot of Muslim nations, to get married is a massive problem. It is so expensive, so expensive. What surprises me is the father who married in 1978 or 1980 or somewhere there, right? When he married, it was so easy. They didn't look at his salary, his job. They just said he's a good, responsible person. And I'm sure he'll look after our daughter because he's respectful. His character's okay. He's responsible. He's relatively religious and so on. Give him. And the daughter got married and they lived happily. And they did not own a house, nor did they own a car. And sometimes they didn't even have a proper job at the time. But they happened to work. 10 years, 20 years later, they owned their first car. SubhanAllah. The same man, when he's looking for someone for his daughter, he already needs to have a house and a car and a job and everything in order. The same man. Look at the hypocrisy. Same guy. And I always tell them, just because Allah gave you money, you have forgotten how it was. Now that you're wealthy, you're saying, no, you can't marry. And the daughter is saying, Dad, he's a good guy. I really want to marry him. Dad, subhanAllah, let it happen. If your daughter wants to marry someone and that person wants to marry your daughter, I promise you, for as long as they are reasonable, both of them are reasonable people, you need to lend it your support. Otherwise, you can guide your child to say, look, the reason is maybe you're not considering X, Y, and Z. At the end of the day, it's their life. Remember this. You were supposed to have guided them from an early age. But you know what? Many of us were busy doing so many other things that as parents, we didn't guide the young. We didn't guide them. Now when they're making wrong decisions as they grow older, guess what? We're blaming them. We're being hard on them. We're destroying them. So do you know what's happening in many communities? Girls are marrying boys, and after 2 years it comes out, I never ever wanted to marry you, my father forced me. How? That is a crime. Those people need to be picked up and penalized, I promise you. How can that happen? And sometimes even the boys say, no, I had my girlfriend, but I couldn't marry her. Relax. May Allah forgive us. Islam does not allow us to interact beyond a certain point with the opposite sex. Interaction with the opposite sex is only human, but it has to happen within a certain scope of respect, respectful interaction. When I mix, when I talk to someone, when I'm speaking to the opposite sex, I need to make sure I'm so respectful. Subhanallah. If I want to take that relationship further, there is a way of doing it. If it is going to work, if both parties are happy, it will carry on. If not, subhanallah, it won't. But be respectful, regularize things, be honorable. Don't use and abuse the opposite sex. Let's make marriage and nikah easy. It will bring about a lot of blessings. Another thing, spend time with your family members, your spouses, your children. I know we're speaking to youth. And I know many of you may be married and some of you might not be married. Or maybe it's the other way around. Some of you are married and many of you are not married. I don't even want to ask how many are married because I don't want to be embarrassed. But subhanallah, someone told me that here in the Maldives it's not easy to get married. Is that true? Is it true? Some are saying no, some are saying yes, mashallah. May Allah make it easy. Whatever it is, I didn't really get a decisive response, so that also is okay. But my brothers and sisters, make it easy. If you want high levels of morality as leaders, let marriage become easy, especially to those whom they would like to marry. For as long as it's acceptable and reasonable, it's okay. Let it happen. And Allah will open the doors. The minute you make it difficult and hard, what you are doing, every time you make halal difficult, you are making haram easy. And you will pay the price for it. Allah will hold you responsible for it. Every time you are making halal difficult, you are making haram easy. You are actually facilitating haram. So if that's the case, you're guilty. No matter how pious you think you are. I was speaking earlier about a person who reads salah in the first saf. And you know what? First saf meaning the first row in the masjid, in prayer, which is has high value. You know, it's a high value row because the reward is great if you were to make it early. They make it early. But the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says, do you know who's the bankrupt person? The companions were responding, thinking that perhaps it's one who doesn't have any money, no gold, no silver, etc. He said, no. A bankrupt person is the one who will come on the day of judgment with a lot of deeds, a lot of good deeds. You know what? Prayer, fasting, whatever else, charities, and so much more. He will have come with so many good deeds, but he would have harmed this one, abused that one, backbitten this one, been vulgar against that one, done this, again, usurped the wealth of this one. So his deeds will be taken one after the other on that day and paid to the people whom he wronged until he's left with no deeds and there is still a line of people waiting for justice. And so what will happen? Their bad deeds will be taken and thrown onto his shoulder. When he came on the day of judgment, he was excited to say, I've got my salah, I've got my this, my that. He didn't realize you were belittling people on this day. You shall be belittled. This is why we say, be careful. Piety shows in your character. If you don't have that good character and conduct, it's impossible that you are pious. You are not. Did you hear what I said? No matter how much you're praying. And this goes to those who really think I'm the only one who's religious and pious. The rest of the people are going to hell. There's a sickness. Some people really think that. Hell is not your father's business and nor is heaven. Honestly. If heaven was your dad's business, maybe you could say, you know, right of admission reserved here is just for me. That's it. I thank Allah. I really thank Allah that He is the most merciful, the most compassionate, the most forgiving, the most kind, the most beneficent. Those are His qualities. He is the owner of paradise. When He chose to begin revelation, He asks us to start off with the greatest of His qualities. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most beneficent. Two levels of mercy. If he wanted, he could have started it another way. In the name of Allah, the one who's going to punish everybody. Now, you could have said that. Yes, the punishment is true. You know, heaven is true, hell is true, it is. But my brothers and sisters, have hope in the mercy of Allah. Try your best. Try your best. Become people who can really shine the torch of Islam in a beautiful way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you that goodness. You know what He wants from you and I? To try. Be upright. Work hard. Serve the Almighty and serve your nation. You need it to grow. You are so fortunate. Can I tell you something? You have one of the most beautiful countries of the world, if not the most beautiful. This time, my hosts, may Allah grant them goodness, you know what they did? Because I was in different cities every other day, and I've been here for about, I think, 4 days maybe, I was in a different resort every evening. Wow. Isn't that a little spoiling? MashaAllah. I would have loved to just stay in one place. I wouldn't mind, you know, whether it's Mukai Suite somewhere down the road here or the Jinn that is not too far from where we are right now. I wouldn't mind. You're wondering how I know those, right? Male is the size of my hand, MashaAllah. So it's fine, MashaAllah. I know those. But I wouldn't have minded. But SubhanAllah, I got a taste of something. As much as I wasn't able to make use of the facilities, I want to tell you that I witnessed something that has prodded me, perhaps, you know, to think that maybe I need to make a special live video about Maldives from a tourism perspective. Perhaps it's a good idea. Is it a good idea?
Then they will call you
Radini. MashaAllah. That is such a beautiful statement, the brother said. Then they will call you disconnected from religion. That's what he just said, right? Which means, and he's worried about it because he doesn't want people to call us names. Do you know what? They can call us whatever they want. We know we still belong to the Almighty. We are appreciating the favors of the Almighty. What's wrong with that? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Which is it of the favors of your Lord do you deny? Every time the Almighty mentions some goodness and He speaks about what He's created and then He speaks about heaven and what He's made there, He says, oh man, oh jinn, which is it of the favors of your Lord do you deny? I need to ask that question to you in the Maldives, mashallah. You've been blessed. But you know what? You don't realize you've been blessed because you grew up with it. We who came from outside, we look at it and say, wow, this water is cleaner than the water that comes from my tap in Zimbabwe. SubhanAllah. It's a reality. Man, mashallah, tabarakallah. So we can appreciate it. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless you all. But at the same time, we need to serve the nation to protect it. We need to make sure that we learn from what has happened to others. Don't be blinded. Look at what happened to others. Don't allow that to happen with you. I want to take the liberty to say something that many of you would have thought I would never say. Let me say something. From a political perspective, no matter what difference you may have, never ever allow that to degenerate into violence. No matter what difference you have, never ever allow that to degenerate into violence and bloodshed. It is not part of our qualities. We don't do that. You can differ very strongly. You can differ and disagree, no problem. On merit, you have an opinion, you are passionate about it, you can be passionate, but don't let it lead you to disrespect, to insult, to abuse, to become vulgar, and to degenerate into violence and bloodshed. Did you hear my piece of advice for you? And not just for you, this is universal advice. It applies to the globe. It applies even not only in the political sphere, amongst religious leaders and religions. No matter what faith you are, it does not mean I agreed with your religion. I didn't agree with you. I don't agree with you. I don't even think that you may make it to heaven. The Christians believe we're not going to heaven. The Jews believe that the Muslims and the Christians are not going to heaven. That's a matter of belief. It's a matter of belief. Based on whatever evidence. For me, evidence is Al-Quran was Sunnah. That's for me. For some others of different faiths, their evidence will be whatever they want to believe is their evidence. Does that mean I need to degenerate into just killing and just spreading bloodshed? Is that what the Almighty made me for? The giver of life. I want to please Him, so I need to beat up everybody He's created. Is that what it is? But some people try to con us into believing that. And sometimes some of the youth end up believing that. And they're used as vehicles and tools running around creating disaster. Don't do that. You are higher than that. You have great morals, great values. You can disagree with a beautiful smile. Can't you? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So let's promise that inshallah we will become the best version that we can of ourselves. Do we promise that? That was a little bit shady, mashallah. We're not getting many promises. Do we promise that, inshallah?
Yes.
Mashallah, that's great, that's great. I hope I didn't force you. But alhamdulillah. May Allah bless you all. Like I said, we are Muslims. I'm a Muslim. I really, and I'm strict on myself, but I'm very lenient on others. Strict on myself and lenient on others. I tell you what, my brothers, my sisters, I want to end off this first part of this program by telling you, you know, the globe today, we are facing challenges where so many ideas are floating around online and on the net. So many ideas, some of them are good ideas, and a lot of them are just a waste of time. Many of them would lead us astray completely. It's up to you to pick up what is beneficial and what is not. You know, you see a video that is totally fake. And you get so excited and pretend like it's so true. And by you believing it's true, you want to actually wipe out one whole category of society. And later on, when it's too late, you find out that was a fake. Have you ever come across something called deep fake videos? Google it, search it, check it, and look what it's all about. It's possible. Be careful. There is too much happening now. And our children are exposed to much more than we were exposed. You are exposed to more than what I am exposed to or was exposed to. And our fathers were exposed to less. Communications have become such that you can be conned. Wallahi, I had a problem of a guy who was... I'm going to tell you what it is because it's a problem, right? He was on a video with his girlfriend where they were both naked, nude, videoing each other, doing whatever. And you know what? Sometime later, he found out that that was not even a woman. It was a 70-year-old man. And how he did it, only Allah knows. And a little while later, he told me that I now have a threat against me that I'm going to release these videos onto a porn site. Subhanallah. I know, you know, people get excited to video themselves in the nude. I'm going to say this because we have to talk about it. I know religious scholars don't normally talk about this, do they? We have to tackle the bull by the horns. Nobody's going to talk about it if we don't in the correct way. Don't get excited. I tell you why. Your phone. Go and ask anyone who knows about phones. I was told this by someone who works with intelligence in one country. He said, listen, anything you've ever done on your phone is retrievable. Whether you've restored factory settings, you've gone back, you've done, don't think it's not hackable. They can tell you end-to-end encryption, this, that. For every technology, there is a counter technology. Do not be fooled. Subhanallah. Switch off your phone. It will still hear you if it wants to. And do whatever you want. It will still do that. Subhanallah. So he said, I said this a few days ago, I'm saying it again. He says, when you're done with your phone, the best way of getting rid of it is to put it on the ground, a concrete, take a 14-pound hammer and knock it down. I said, I don't need to do that. He said, well, watch out. Why? I said, I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide. You're not going to find a nude video on my phone. You're not going to find things here. So I've got nothing to hide. You can take the phone. It's okay. But my brothers and sisters, remember something. You might be on your own. Don't do something with your phone that you would be embarrassed the day the whole world found out what there was there. It's a piece of advice from a figure. Call me an elder brother in the case of some, and a father figure in the case of a lot of you. By the way, I have 10 children. 2 of them are married. Alhamdulillah. I see some of the boys are looking. Is it? Yes. And by the way, I have 8 daughters, so you better be good to me, mashallah. My brothers and sisters, I tell you, don't do that which is embarrassing with your phone. If you're having a video call, keep it proper. Even if tomorrow there is a spouse on the other side, people ask fatwas. Look, my wife is far away. You know, I'm far away. Can we have a nude video call? You know, and I will tell them from a religious perspective, you know, the aura, obviously, there is an element of respect. But they, although there may be permissibility because the two of you are married, but you know what? There could be a third party, and there probably is in a lot of cases a third party somehow, somewhere there who's going to get involved, and you might just find that video one day somewhere. A person will tell you, I saw it on a porn site. It happened. Wallahi, it has happened. I promise you, there was a sister who told me, you know, my video is on a porn site and this what, and how do we, people become suicidal. Be careful. This is a reality. It is a problem many people don't discuss. You will pay the price of it. Just learn to hold back a little bit. You know, you want to do things. Not everything needs to happen with the phone. You don't have to record every single moment of yours. The intimate moments, keep them as a memory in your mind. Subhanallah. The sister says, what do I do? It's on the porn site. I said, sister, how do you know it's on the porn site? Good question, right? She said, you know what? My brother found it there. Wallahi, I'm not joking with you. And what was the brother doing? Well, he's hooked onto porn. Imagine what people are going through. And wallahi, how do you counsel such a person? I recently read an article of people who were compensated large sums of money because of something similar to this nature. They were conned into something. But at the same time, we as Muslimin, let's carry ourselves with respect. Don't do things that will be an embarrassment. You notice this evening we spoke of challenges. Challenges we're facing as a Muslim ummah. Challenges we're facing with the wars that are going on around us, and how we should learn lessons, and how we should try by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ensure that we are saved at least to begin with. And then we also learned a little bit about our social life to make sure that we try and deal with those challenges too. I've said quite a bit. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.